Hey, happy Mother's Day. We are extremely blessed by all the women in our life, and especially if they raised you to know Jesus, you are incredibly blessed. Thank you, moms, for all you do for all of us. I heard about something called the 1 in 60 principle recently. The 1 in 60 principle applies to pilots in an airplane. For every 1 degree that the nose of the plane is off, you travel 60 miles, you will get 1 mile off of your destination. So for every 1 degree that the nose of the plane is off, you travel 60 miles, you will be 1 mile off of your intended destination. It doesn't take very long for a plane to go 60 miles. And so just 1 degree off, quickly, you end up where you didn't want to be. Quickly, you get to a place where you did not want to go. Just 1 degree. You know, I think if I had a level up here and I held it and I could just tilt it 1 degree, you probably wouldn't even know the difference. 1 degree, and you get way off course. Paul knew this as well. We're going to be in 2 Timothy for most of our time this morning. And 2 Timothy is a book that Paul writes to Timothy. It's the last letter that he ever wrote. And so usually if you know that your final words are going to someone that you care about deeply, you are going to say something pretty important, right? And the theme of 2 Timothy that Paul hits on over and over and over again to Timothy is found in chapter 1, verse 13 of 2 Timothy. And this is what he says. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching. And this is found all throughout the book. I would encourage you to spend some time this week. It's only 4 chapters, probably 12 or 15 minutes. You could sit down and read the entire book of 2 Timothy in that amount of time. And you can see over and over again, we'll look at other passages, Paul just drives this point home to Timothy. Hold on to doctrine. Hold on to the gospel. Hold on to God's word, Timothy. And here's why. In chapter 4, just a little bit later, he says this. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. The time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. That is now. That time is now. People do not want to hear the truth. People do not care about what this says. People have lost grip on God's truth and have compromised it in more ways than I can say. And so Paul's charge to Timothy is the same charge to us. If that is the case, if so many people have left this aside and have compromised it, then church, we have to hold on. We have to be the people who draw the line in the sand and say, no, this is truth. We will not bend. We will not go backwards. This is God's word. And we will not compromise on what it says. Going a few verses up into chapter 3, this is the reason. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The reason we hold to this is because it is God's revelation. It is inspired, written by man, pen to paper, but it is God's word, the Spirit working through them to give us his truth, to show us the way, to reveal his character, show his love. And so we do not compromise. Moms and dads, that's your job as well. You have to be instilling that in your children. Just two verses up from where we just read, he reminds Timothy of that truth. Verse 14 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures." See, in another part of the Bible, we know that it was Timothy's mother and his grandmother who instilled the faith in him. And moms and dads, you have that responsibility. From infancy, he was taught the scriptures. You have a responsibility to teach your kids that this is true, that it is worth clinging to and grasping. It is worth building your life upon. It is the only foundation that will last. And so, parents, teach your kids that we do not compromise on what Scripture says. Not even one degree. I want to look at three different areas where we tend to bend, where we are tempted to do just that and maybe compromise in situations. And then I want to look at three different ways that we can avoid doing that. And so the first thing that I want to look at is this idea that, man, when culture really starts to go the other way, it can be tempting to bend to our culture. About 7 or 8 days ago, the United Methodist denomination had their general conference. And they decided at that conference that marriage no longer has to be between a man and a woman, that their clergy no longer have to be heterosexual. They've been battling this for years, and for the last few years, if you did not agree with that stance of the entire denomination, your church could opt out, and some have done that, but they have even thrown that out the window, and you can no longer leave without a legal battle because of this decision. This is the second largest Protestant denomination in the United States, and they're not the only ones to do this, but what is so disappointing is that this one, beyond some of the others, it also has a global impact. This denomination is on other continents and in many other countries, more so than some of the other denominations who have made this choice. And this did not happen overnight. Like I said, this has been coming down the road for years, because shifts don't happen overnight. They happen gradually over time, one degree at a time. And that is not to say that every person within that denomination or even every congregation within that denomination agrees, but that is the decision that has been made. Basically, that this doesn't matter. Whatever the culture has said, we will bend to and we will be accepting regardless of what God says. We tend to bend to our culture. We also tend to bend to our circle, our friends and our families. We can get into these situations where, man, whenever the group starts to believe one way or when the group starts doing something, we may not have gone down that road ourselves, but whenever everyone else starts doing it, we follow sometimes, even when we don't want to. We see this even with Peter. In Galatians 2, Paul has the account of calling out Peter. It says that whenever he was with the Gentiles, he would eat with them and fellowship with them. But whenever there were Jews around, Peter would distance himself from the Gentiles because there was still the tension of those two groups, and Paul rebukes him for that. One of Jesus' closest friends finds himself in this situation when, hey, everyone else is acting this way, and I know what the truth is. I know that God has opened the door to the Gentiles. I know that there's no reason that I can't eat and fellowship with them, but when this group over here is acting like that, I tend to go that way. And we can do the same thing. I tell students all the time that the people that they choose to be with, especially in high school, will make such a huge impact on the rest of their life. The friends that you choose to surround yourself with, and that's not just true in high school, it's true of all of us, but the groups that we associate with and rub shoulders with will influence us in more ways than we can imagine. And so we tend to bend to our culture, and we tend to bend to our circle. And we also tend to bend to ourselves at times. Excuse me. And what I mean by that is, in the instances where we just determine, hey, I know what the Bible says, but it's a lot more convenient if I don't follow. There's times where we know the truth, we've read it, we say, well, that's pretty black and white, I understand, but but my sinful nature's pulling me this way, and it sounds fun to follow that, and so I'm going to go down that road. See, we can't just blame this on outside forces. We can't just blame this on the culture or on our friend group or our family. This is a struggle for us as well. Our own evil desires lead us down this road sometimes as well. And maybe it's not where we just know the truth and decide to ignore it. Maybe it's the little sins that, well, they're not as bad as other things, right? Like in James, where it says to consider it pure joy when you face trials. How often do we do that? Or in Philippians 2, when it says, do everything without grumbling or complaining. Has anyone lived that one out this week? Yeah, don't raise your hand. We tend to pick and choose the things that we want. So, well, at least I don't do that. At least I'm not a bad sinner. I just gossip sometimes. I just complain whenever things don't go my way, but that's not a big deal. That's just one of those little sins, right? We compromise on what God's truth says whenever we do that. And we have to get to a point where we make the decision that no matter what, we hold firm to the pattern of sound teaching. So those are three examples of areas where we're tempted to bend. And now I want to look at three ways that we can live this out, the ways that we can avoid those temptations, hopefully, and hold on to that pattern. And the first one is this. It's a little bit of a throwback to last year's theme. We have to be rooted in God's Word. Psalm chapter 1, and starting in verse 1, says this: how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The Bible compares us being in the Word to a tree being by its source of life. We've seen that play out over the last few years, right? We've seen what it looks like when you don't have water, and then we've seen what it looks like when you get a monsoon in a weekend, right? I had these high hopes of a tree that we planted in our yard last year. I probably was like excited about this tree more than I should have been, but we went and we bought this red maple tree. We planted it in the yard, and Miley makes fun of me all the time because I'm like super excited about this tree. Because someday it's going to grow, and it's going to give us this awesome shade on the house, and it's going to be beautiful. We have these other three really great trees, but they don't do anything to shade our house. They're like on the outside of it. And so I wanted something that blocked the sun a little bit. Well, last year wasn't a very good year to plant a tree. And so this spring, we watered it. I'd go out there all the time and tried to water that thing, but it didn't work. And so this spring came around, and there's no leaves on this tree, and I'm looking at it, and man, all these other trees have leaves, and I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm like, at one point, this thing's not looking very good, right? And so I asked Scott, I was like, hey, Scott, when do I finally give up on this tree? He's like, well, if you go out there and, you know, if the twig breaks off pretty easily, then that thing's probably gone. So I forced myself to go out there, knowing the result. I was like, this thing's dead, but I gotta go see. So I broke that thing off, and a little piece of me died, and it's like, I was like, man. But we planted a new tree, and hopefully we get some rain this year, and hopefully that water is gonna give that tree life in the same way that this gives us life. To avoid compromising on what this says, we have to know the word. We have to immerse ourselves in it. We have to be close to the source every day, immersing ourselves in this so that we can know what is true. We can distinguish between what is a lie and what is the truth. We can know God's revelation. Not only do we have to be mindful of this, we have to be mindful of the people that we listen to. I want to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a verse we've read already. Verse 3 says, "For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves, because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths." Man, we live in a time that is wonderful, where we could listen to a podcast 8 hours a day. We could pull up any sermon we want from almost any church across the nation. There is a wealth of resources out there for truth. Or, unfortunately, in a lot of instances, for false doctrine. And we have to be careful. The people that we listen to, the sermons that we pull up, the people who we enjoy listening to. Sometimes when I hear someone speak, sometimes when I hear someone talk about a speaker that they enjoy, and they say, "I enjoy listening to that guy," part of me is like, I'm not sure that's the point. Like, I understand there's an aspect of you want to connect with the person that you're hearing from, but a lot of times the reason that people are popular and that you enjoy listening to them is because they never tell you stuff that you don't want to hear. It's pretty enjoyable to listen to someone talk a lot about all the good things, and do this, and God will bless you, and follow God, and he'll open this door for you. Man, sometimes the people that are enjoyable to listen to, they never talk about sin. They never talk about God's wrath. They never talk about the things that we really need to hear. And so you just have to be careful and discerning with who you listen to. Because frankly, there's a lot of money that can be made in this area. There's a lot of money that can be made from writing books and giving people the words that they want to hear. Scratching that itch, like it says in 2 Timothy. And so just be discerning with who you listen to. Not only do we have to be in this book, not only do we have to be mindful of who we listen to, but if we are going to hold on to this, if we are going to draw the line in the sand and say, no, I'm not going to compromise on this, if I'm going to hold to God's truth no matter what everyone else does around me, then we have to be ready for the pushback of that. We have to be ready for some persecution. Paul reminds Timothy of this in chapter 3, verse 10. He says, but you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, I don't know that we could say we're at that point here in the States yet. There's definitely pushback. There's inconvenience. There are people who don't like our message, but we're not really to the level of persecution, especially that we see in other places around the world. But I think it's coming. And we have to resolve right now, before it comes, that, hey, no matter what happens, we will not compromise on the truth. And so far, we've seen that outside of the church, but like I mentioned, we're starting to see the church go that way too. And right now, the narrative is, well, we'll decide this, and they can decide that, but how long before that turns? How long before the denominations who have made that choice and who have compromised then call us hateful, just like the culture does? And so we have to be ready. We have to be mindful. We have to be rooted in this. We have to be rooted in community, because if we are going to hold the line, it's a lot easier to hold the line when you've got other people beside you, right? And so being a part of this gathering, being a part of a smaller group of people that you can say, no matter what, we will not compromise. We will not change what this says. We will hold fast to this, because we are living in a time where so many people are throwing it away. The 1 in 60 principle. For every 1 degree that the nose of the plane is off, when you travel 60 miles, you end up 1 mile off your destination. In 1979, there was a sightseeing plane in Antarctica that did just this. The nose of the plane was 2 degrees off, and the pilots didn't realize this. And so as they traveled, eventually this plane crashed into Mount Erebus, killing over 250 people on board this sightseeing plane because the pilots didn't notice just the slight difference. 2 degrees off, and disaster happens. We have to be a people who does not bend, who does not change, who holds on to the pattern of sound teaching, who draws the line in the sand and says, no matter what, we will not budge. Not even 1 degree. Would you guys pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for our time this morning. We pray that we would be immersing ourselves in this book so that we can know your truth, so that we can cling to it, so that we can be a light in this dark world that each day gets farther and farther away. Father, help us to hold fast, even when things get difficult. Father, be with us the rest of this day. We do thank you for our moms, and we pray that as they take this charge to their kids, that they would be looking to you for guidance and wisdom. Father, we're grateful most of all for Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.